Children had been here this morning, I would probably have told them the parable about the sower, because today's service is about seeds. But I'm not going to tell you the parable, because I really believe that all of you will know the parable of the sower. But instead, I would like to share a wee memory with you about a child. When I worked at Townhead Primary School, we had a weekly assembly. It was a happy time of singing and learning Christian ways through Bible stories. One week, because our reading books were not well cared for, I decided to promote the idea of looking after our reading books just like we looked after our Bible. I took a variety of Bibles to school. They had been gifts for my 8th birthday, my wedding day, being a bridesmaid, and prizes from the Sunday school. I also had some other books, well-read books. and, of course, the reading book. It was my aim to sow the seeds of caring. The children were good listeners, and we had a happy time together. The next morning, Andrew, a wee boy from primary two, appeared at my door with his arms outstretched, and in his hands was a red book. His teacher stood beside him. Andrew explained that this was his grandpa's Bible, and he was allowed to bring it to school to show me. As I took the book from his hands, he said I could keep it to look at it. By this time, his teacher, Catherine, was struggling to contain her laughter because the book which Andrew handed to me was a Reader's Digest omnibus. I quickly hid my surprise, and we agreed that he would collect it at 3:30. And he would come then on his own for Grandpa's Bible. They left, Catherine grinning from ear to ear, and the wee boy delighted because he had shared something with me. He had carried the book to me with such reverence, and it was obviously special to him. This incident left me with a great sense of sadness, for I had assumed that all of my children would have a Bible at home and that they would know its value. Our next hymn, again from Vision Praise, is Hymn 250, How Shall We?
are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and make us. This is what we pray. Troubles of life, our spirits may assail. With Christ as our Saviour, we need never fail. Christ is the answer to our every need. Christ is the answer. He is our friend indeed. Please join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 13, and then followed by 18 to 23. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do I speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When people or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." The second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as you forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you will be called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hearts, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen."
Thank you.
When we think of sowing seeds in our church calendar, we usually think of the harvest of the land and of the sea. However, when Jesus told the story of the sower, he explained a deeper meaning within the parable. When I was doing a wee bit of research, I read that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A short and simple story that teaches us a religious and a moral code. So what is Jesus teaching us in this reading from Matthew's Gospel? Firstly, he tells of the sower and of the success and failure of the crop due to the quality of the soil. He tells how the sower's success is dependent on the soil.
And he gives an explanation for this. I like this story because the work of the sower is easy to understand. It is an earthly story. This morning, Mandy read to us how the disciples questioned Jesus. They asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus said, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. This is the heavenly meaning. Jesus is giving guidance on the problems of sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God to the world." Food was prepared the night before. cooking was limited. No washing, no ironing, and definitely no housework. Children were dared to go out of their own garden because of the sun. There were two choices. Go to church or stay at home. And the second was only if you were not well enough to go to the sermon. Today, our world boggles over with choices. Shops are open for every kind of business all day on a Sunday, and people are needed to work in them as well as shop in them. People work shifts, long hours. Sports of all types can be watched or participated in on a Sunday. Parents run a taxi service, going to events, or ferrying their kids to their pals' houses on Sunday. People often have no choice and cannot come to church. Others have a choice, but choose not to come. The school curriculum no longer prioritizes the teaching of our Christian faith, and the stories of Jesus are forgotten in favor of computer games. I wonder how many children have heard of or know the parable stories, and how many have a Bible at home. When we were children, very few homes would be without a Bible. They could be easily found in the home, often lying on a table beside the bed, where they brought comfort to those who lived there. I remember a time when you came to the church in your Sunday best, carrying your Bible. Now we have a big screen, which is excellent. But you can't turn round the corner and take it home and read the sermon again before read the reading again. I must admit that, as I said to a friend in church a couple of weeks ago, sometimes I have problems getting to grips with the old version of the Bible. For today's service, I used the Adventure Bible, which I was given as a Christmas present a few years ago. I can recommend it to you. It's about 30 years since Andrew from Primary 3 shared his joy with me. Today, I wonder if he has a Bible. Does he go to church? Or did the seed of sharing his grandpa's Bible with me become lost along life's path? I will never know, but I will never forget the sadness I felt at the time. For how can we spread the seeds of the gospel if we cannot ensure that everyone has a Bible? Choices make the challenge of spreading the gospel more difficult today. What then can we do? We know the parable of the sower is about sharing the word of God with everyone. But Jesus wanted us to learn and grow in our own lives through this parable. He lives it forth. We follow here in 4th of Paul's, we follow the advice in Colossians, telling us how we should live as Christians. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs, and do all of this in the name of Jesus. Act 4, as Audrey plays for us, we sing to God's praise with joy. We have people working behind the scenes, ensuring that the church is maintained and that the bills are paid. We run events. We have folk who are always there to help buying tickets, making tablets, cooking, and all the other things that people do without praise. We are planning to bring new ideas into our season of harvest, and you'll hear about this soon. We are inviting people to join us, and we hope that you will help us to pass this invitation on. God loves us, and he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be kind, loving, forgiving, helpful, obedient, honest, and thankful. When we do these things, we are keeping his commandment. The type of soil in our hearts will determine whether the seed of God's word, love and grace, will flourish within us or not. But we must try as best we can to fulfill the message of the parable and to show that the kingdom of God will continue to grow and spread until the end of time. Thank you. Again, from mission case, we're going to take 153 for the fruits of his creation.
Okay, let's pray together. The loving Lord and Father of all, we bring you now our thanks and praise for all you have given us and blessed our lives with. For the wonderful world in which we live, for the peace we enjoy, for the summer season and the promise of the harvest. Give us grace to accept your gifts, and help us to share them unselfishly wherever we see need. Dear Lord and Father of all, we thank you for your still small voice of calm that reaches out to us through the strains and stresses of life. And in that calm now, we bring you our prayers for others and for our world. There are those for whom we care, those we worry about and fear for, our own families and friends in illness, troubles, or in danger. We pray for those in desperate need, for those who are in despair this time, for those who are worrying about the future, those who are struggling to pay their bills. Father, show us what we might do to help them and to bring them comfort and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, your church is an ever-present witness to your love, a living echo of your voice of calm. And we are part of that church, and so too each of us are called to bring your love into a world which needs it daily. We pray for 4th St. Paul's at this time. We pray for its members, all those who come on Sunday, and all of its leaders. We ask that you'd give our leaders wisdom in all the decisions that they have to take at this challenging time. We pray for our nation and its leaders, and we ask that you would guide them and give them wisdom to make the right decisions for the good of all. Living God, creator and giver of life to all people, we ask you would hear our prayer for peace among the nations, and for the ending of conflict in Ukraine, and for easing tensions in other parts of the world also. We pray for countries where people are starving and living in constant fear for their lives. We pray you would send them relief and food, and peace and hope for the future. And Father, help us all to play our part in this. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us when we wander from your paths and find ourselves lost and troubled or doing foolish things. Keep us safe in your love, and so let our faith be sure and steadfast, whatever we may have to face in life. Help us to be more understanding and forgiving of others, as we should if we follow your ways. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your willingness to forgive. Help us to be faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel to everyone we meet, in our words and in our actions, and to trust your Holy Spirit to help that seed grow and produce fruit. And in our lives, may we be clothed with the fruits of the Spirit, and show the same attitude of love and forgiveness to others that Christ showed. Here in our church today, strengthen our faith that we may go out from here restored and ready to help others in their needs. In Jesus' name we ask. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And I call it for today. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the light and life of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Excuse me. You'll maybe have heard or
seen on the television something about a dandelion fetish that's been going on throughout Scotland. And this was advertised way back in the springtime. And the idea of the dandelion project is that the harvest is not just the fruits and the vegetables and things, but it's the harvest of everything that we look for. And the harvest of talents, the harvest of sharing, all of these things, taking out the church into the community. And it doesn't really say church as such, but it does say everything is doing good. We thought it might be a good idea, with your help, to have our own events towards the dandelion. So you can imagine the dandelion, the seeds are shown. So within another couple of days, we're hoping to maybe produce something so that you can know what's available. A flower festival, maybe a tea afternoon, some photographs reminding us of our wonderful display in Port, a craft fair, a craft show, not a competing flower show, but one that you can bring things on all to show. So maybe if you've got any ideas, you can pass them on to Margaret or some of the other elders, and we could include them. But you'll get a wee thing out, and we'd love if you would share it with your friends and everybody else. And one of the other things we thought you would like is a friendship Sunday. I'm sure you've got neighbours who kind of watch you now on a Sunday to come to church, who peek out their windows, and have just not the courage to put their coat on and come with you. And maybe we'll help us in fact to get more people out the doors of our church. Because like every church in Scotland, we are in crisis, and we need your help to make sure that in many years to come, both St Paul still stands. The next hymn, our last hymn for this morning, is Mission Phase, Go Forth and Tell.
Oh,
saying, "Go ye and teach them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world."